2025, The Joy of Phronesis. Philippians 4, 1 through 3.
And you should really have Word read that for you.
I can do that.
Philippians week 25, The Joy of Phronesis.
Philippians week 25, The Joy of Phronesis. Bill 4:1-3.
This should be part of our succession plan. If you,
all right.
We're just going to have Word read all your sermons.
Yeah. AI is going to read all the sermons. And this is why people will go to hell. All right. Ready?
Yes.
Today we are starting Philippians chapter 4, but technically it is still the end of chapter 3. So in my mind, we're not starting chapter 4, we're ending chapter 3. Kind of reminds me of the Billy Joel song, still rock and roll to me, still chapter 3 to me.
Nice.
What Paul starts off in this is talking about how the people in Philippi are his joy and crown, which I love this because, yes, the crown that we receive is what Christ places on our head. We are moving towards salvation of what Christ is doing. And yet Paul also talks about this in a double meaning to say that you are my joy and crown. The people that he is, the community of the church is his joy and crown. And he wants to do everything to see them thrive. And the way he will talk about is by using this word phronesis. No, this word called phronesis. And there's many commentators who believe that this is the central idea of Paul's thrust in the book of Philippians, that having the same mind, the same feelings, coming around what the gospel is with one another, because that is what will take us through all the different disagreements we have with one another and how to come out on the other side in a way of honoring Christ first. And Paul will use this now, this word phronesis, when he talks about two people having this struggle. And as he talks about these two women having the struggle, what he says is agree, that's the word phronesis, in the Lord. And so Paul doesn't belittle whatever argument there is they're having with one another. He doesn't say it's not a big deal. But what he says is what we kind of talked about last week when we have disagreements. We start with our agreement in the Lord. And what Paul does is he really takes these cosmic concepts that he's been talking about through the entire book, that what Christ has done as he rules and reigns over everything. And now he just brings it down to this micro level of here is just a disagreement that you guys are having with one another. The way to walk through that is to have the same mind centered in Christ, have the same emotions, the feelings around what Christ has done. Start in that place, because that is going to move you to a place of being able to come together. Not that you even have to be friends, but come together so that the gospel goes forward and it's not hindered by your actions with one another. You can't gossip about somebody else and it not affect the person you're gossiping to, the person you're gossiping about, and the other people that hear that. It affects everybody. It's not just this one isolated thing. If you are having an issue with somebody and you start to not just deal with it with that person, you deal with it with others, that affects more than just that person. It affects the people that hear about it. And so Paul is trying to say that our world is fractured in a million pieces. Christ brings us back together in the church. If you can't see, my hands are moving back and forth like showing.
A lot of
you,
movement.
There's a lot of
movement
going on.
He's exploring
over here.
The space.
There's like accordion.
And what he's saying is Christ is bringing us back together in this thing called the church. And in the church, we are meant to have one mind centered in Christ. That doesn't mean we don't have our own thoughts or opinions and think differently. But around the gospel, we do. We think and understand and see what God has done. And that brings a unity among us. So Paul's saying, don't be disintegrated, be integrated together as a people who love and serve and follow Christ. And in the end, we don't know what the disagreement was between these two women in the church in Philippi. I make a joke that it could have been you took home the wrong crock pot from the crock pot of Palooza back in 2018. But whatever it was, Paul says, stop taking sides and then encourage one another to come together around the gospel so that we'd cease to be disconnected and be connected in Christ, and that will show the world what God is doing through this thing called the church. When you see a conflict between maybe two people that you care about, how do you typically respond? Do you take sides? Do you stay neutral? Do you avoid the situation? What do you do?
I try to listen. I think the key phrase is when it's two people I care about. And this kind of recently just happened, and it's heart-wrenching. I take it very, not personally, like it affect, like I'm involved, but like it breaks my heart to see two people who I love dearly not see eye to eye, or one hurt the other one. And I have learned the hard way to only step in when invited. Because there's some who want to say, like, hey, what would you do in this situation? And some who say, stop telling me how to do it. So I think that's probably been one of my biggest, like, adulthood needing to give it to God, is that I can't fix it, because I definitely try to overstep and fix and reconcile. And
sometimes I don't do a great job of it, because the person who is the loudest or has the most emotions, you naturally want to gravitate towards them and listen and be like, oh yeah, what happened to you? And to start almost to begin to take sides. Then usually they say, but you know, don't really talk to this person about it. And my first thing is, I'm gonna talk to that person about it.
We know that.
Absolutely gonna do that.
Because that's exactly, don't tell me you don't want me to go talk to somebody about this, because I want to figure it out, because I don't like there being this whole disagreement between the two of you. But typically, whoever has the most emotions, I think that we are naturally drawn to want to believe them, sure, to help them, because they have more emotions around something. And this is why Paul, you know, when he's talking to, like, Clement and I think Luke, and he's saying, help them to figure this out. Help them. You know, don't egg it on. Mm-hmm. Step into this.
And don't just stand by.
Right. I think there's a lot of people who just want to avoid situations like this, and just let him, I'm not involved. I don't want to spill it onto me. And I don't want to spill it onto me. I think we can all agree with that. But you know, how about you? You're in a disagreement with somebody, and maybe the disagreement is spilling over, not just into that, but it's actually affecting and causing people to take sides around you, and someone points that out. How do you respond to that?
Well, if they're picking my side, it feels good. I'm more justified in my rightness.
Gotta love an honest
the
team.
Lord's team. Right?
I'd like to think I keep a straight face while they're telling me, and then I go cry. And then I...
But the reality is...
And then I live in the shame. But the reality is, I've already started crying in front of them. I continue crying while I leave.
I just cry a little harder when I'm alone. These are definitely the answers you wanted.
So these are honest answers.
Well,
you and I have talked about somebody that you've talked to before, and in the middle of it, they start to cry, so you don't finish what you actually wanted to say. Mm. You stop.
Well, that's what I was going to say. When you were going with the person who's the most emotional or the loudest, I thought you were going to say gravitate away from, because it's almost like the theatrics of it can kind of shut you down. And it's not that someone's being dramatic and I'm shutting down, but it is like, oh my gosh, they feel so terrible. So now I can't pile on more. I feel like I can't speak full truth.
And those are probably the people you hear first from. So it's the first side of the story. And so I feel super gullible, where I like hook, line, and sinker. Then I hear the other side. I'm all, yes, that's right. There's three sides to every story.
Yes.
I don't believe anybody now.
When people come to me about something like that, I don't always respond well. I think I respond well the next day, but not typically when they come to me in the middle of it. Because in my mind, I'm just thinking of all the reasons why they're wrong. But, and people don't, I think, sometimes know this. Like, okay, I know in last podcast, but we're talking about Jenny Spear, right? Jenny Spear said she always hated to confront me about something. Mm. She goes, because you react in a way where it's like, well, this is why I did it. And she goes, and she goes, but then you'll come back to me the next day and you'll say, well, you're right. And because you think about it. And she goes, but man, I hate that first initial reaction.
The defensiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm defensive.
Yeah. You talk, I shut down. So I want to avoid my nature.
Just say it's interesting as like a couples therapist, because you're supposed to maintain neutrality, right? But obviously there are sometimes these situations where, like, very blatantly someone's in the wrong, right? Or, like, doing something they should not.
Have you read Element Yelp Review? About
I remember a truck.
Someone dude getting hurt by a truck or something.
I think there is a way to join with both people, and it doesn't have to be a couple, right? It could be like any disagreement or conflict. There's a way to join with both people and enter in with kindness and empathy, and yet still be able to call out the wrongdoing, the sin, the injustice, wherever it is. But I think if we can kind of tether ourselves just to the humanity and like the universal nature of our brokenness, it can help soften that a bit.
Yeah, because it's not 50-50. It's never 50-50.
Right.
60-40, 95-5. Mm. We both play a part in whatever conflict there is that's there. And it's never going to be the 50-50. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
So what's one way you can engage and support somebody who's clearly more in the wrong? Like, what's an example of that?
So yesterday, with my boys, Asher got mad at Elliot about something and like pushed him, and Elliot got hurt and started crying. And so they both come and tell me the story. So first I have to like get the facts, right? The subjective facts from both of them. And Asher was clearly in the wrong. So like I told him, like, you need to go take some time out and like, we're going to talk about it, and brought him back. And he was telling me why he was angry. And it's like, again, can empathize with the reasons why he got frustrated and validate that. But like, dude, at the end of the day, you can't hurt your brother in this way. Like, look at the impact. Like, you need to go make this right. And so you can walk someone through the process and shepherd them, but I think do it in a way where you're connected to them. And it's still very like, me too. I am also capable of this brokenness, you know?
So I just finished doing 3 weeks in the book of Philemon for next year. Coming out of Colossians, it was not on my radar, wasn't even thinking about it. And there was a thing that happened where we were talking about some reconciliation and people telling the truth. And Philemon is all about reconciliation, because you have a slave owner who, in that culture, that was normal, but it's never right to own people. And then you have Onesimus, the runaway slave who stole and ran away. And after Onesimus comes to trust in Jesus, Paul sends him back. And the whole thing's about reconciliation. And what you need in reconciliation is truth and grace that leads to forgiveness, that leads to repentance, that leads to reconciliation. And that really, I think, is kind of central to how we begin to live this way. One of the things on the group focus on the notes says, consider establishing group practices that foster unity and reconciliation. What could those be for us?
I think being able to own ruptures and conflict and committing to working through that in a transparent, gospel-centered way.
We just did this with GCDC, but going through communion exercise together and speaking into people's lives in a way that speaks the gospel in, and then offering a place of repentance and confession and leading people to the foot of the cross and in some area of their life. And this would be, if there's active conflict, this would be a great thing to speak into.
Yeah. Mm.
How much wind does it take out of people's angry sails if it's like, hey, why don't we stop and pray real quick?
Mm-hmm. It's very disarming, I think.
Mm-hmm. I got a phone call from this guy yesterday out of the blue, and I thought he butt dialed me, but he didn't. Now he's freaking out about all these different things. And he's like, you know, well, what's going to happen? I go, first off, Jesus is sovereign. He's in control. Nothing. It doesn't mean that he won't ever allow hardship into your life, but you don't have to worry about things like this because he's got you. He's in control. You know, when this kind of thing comes up, rather than freaking out, pray for those people because they need Jesus and they're lost. And I actually prayed for this person before I got off the phone. They were like, oh, man. Thanks. And it totally changed the outlook and mindset of this person by the time that we were done. Prayer out loud with people who are having conflict in the moment takes a lot of anger out of that wind of the sails.
I think prayer is always a great recenter, even if it's not anger. When it's emotional spinning, that's usually what will shut me down. Brandon goes, how about we pray?
Well, hopefully we can be honest with one another about our own struggles with each other and where we disagree, and come back to the place of having our minds centered in Christ first, that when we see conflict around us, we would want to step in like Paul calls Clement to do, to help these people agree in the Lord first and then deal with everything else on the backside of that. It's not always easy, but I think it leads to real and true and lasting community.
Think faster or get out of the way.
There's our ending.